I want to invite your attention this morning. Book of Revelation, chapter number 19. And I've read in your hearing verses 1 through 7 some beautiful and wonderful words of God. And they're found on page 1742 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Revelation 19, 1 through 7. Now there is one of those verses that I want to focus our attention on this morning. And it is the sixth verse. So you listen as I read it again. John, the loving apostle of our Lord, is the one who was inspired by God to write these words. He said, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." That is, like there was a great host. Maybe a great army was marching and moving. He said it sounded like a great crowd or multitude of people. And he said it also described as the voice of many waters. And my understanding is he's saying if you were in a low-lying area and somewhere maybe up the river there had been a great rain and all that water gathered in that river and it suddenly rose to the height where it would begin to push trees down and tear buildings up as it flooded towards you. You'd hear this roar of water that's coming at you. And so that's the second description he gave. And the voice of mighty thunderings, as to say there's this great storm and great thundercloud. And you hear it rumbling and you hear the thunder and the lightning clapping and it gets closer and louder. And it gets your attention. And I believe that's what he's telling us today, brothers and sisters. That this voice that God has given to him to hear the word of God has gotten his attention. And he said all of this is to say this. He said it is to say, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." I am so thankful to God for these beautiful words. And that's what I want to talk to you about today from God's holy word. Would you join with me again in a moment of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be in your house. We're just so thankful, Lord, to be gathered with your children. Thankful, Lord, for your word. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll bless your word today. You'll bless your people in hearing it. Bless it for your glory. Give my voice strength to preach your word. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that probably most everyone realizes the Apostle John is the writer of these words of Revelation, the entire book of Revelation. There are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. But there's an interesting thing. He had heard these sounds, and it was apparently, at least as I understand it, it was an angel of God that was talking to him. It wasn't something that God just communicated to him in his mind or in his heart. It was something God sent an angel to tell him. If you go back to Revelation 1 and verse 1, I'll read these words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, John. Now also, the last chapter of Revelation tells us that this voice of the angel had been speaking to him in all of the book of Revelation. Because in the last chapter, chapter 22, and verse number 16, he says, and these are the words of Jesus now, if you have a red letter edition, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bride and morning star. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel about angels. I know there are people who believe in angels, and there are people who don't believe in angels. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm one of those people who believes in angels. I believe in angels because it's told in the Bible that they exist. And if you look as you read in the Bible, you'll frequently find the evidence that God has sent an angel to communicate some message. They're very special messengers of God that God created to carry his message. Now, one of them I recently preached on, Daniel in the den of lions. And when he was thrown into that den of hungry lions, you remember that the next day, he was alive and well. And the king hollered to say, are you all right, Daniel? And Daniel said, yes. And here's basically what he told the king. He said, my God sent his angel. Did you get that? My God sent his angel. And he shut the mouth of the lion. You see, there was an angel in that lion's den with Daniel, protecting him. I'm glad to know angels exist. I'm sure in my heart they protected us. A lot of times when we didn't see them, didn't hear them, didn't know they were there. Another time, very important to me, is in Luke 1:35, I believe it is, and it was whenever Mary didn't understand what was going on with her. She knew she was changing. She knew that there was something going on. She went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And while there, God sent a very special angel, sent Gabriel. And Gabriel came and explained to her that she was going to give birth to a son. And that son would be the Son of God. And she couldn't understand it, but God sent an angel to explain it. Now, can you imagine the concern and anxiety of Joseph, her intended, that hadn't yet married, and all of a sudden she's with child, and he doesn't understand either. And in Matthew's Gospel 2 and 13, God sent an angel to Joseph, and that angel explained to Joseph that this thing with Mary is the work of the Holy Ghost. It's not a man, it's the Holy Spirit. She has conceived by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And that child is going to be the Son of God. And the angel of God explained it, and Joseph was at peace. There were angels, but began with one, to the shepherds, you remember. They were out watching their sheep at night, and they saw this, the angel of God, and the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that's in Luke, around Luke 2nd chapter and 13th verse. And so when that angel had given the message of the birth of Jesus, we're told in the next two verses, I believe that maybe it's where the 13th verse tells us, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So there again was a multitude of angels. One more. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, tempted to turn stones into bread, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Whenever he was carried up to the pinnacle of the temple, said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. And he wouldn't do it. And he wouldn't tempt God. And then he carried him to an exceeding high mountain and lied to him, said, if you bow down and worship me, I give you all this. It didn't belong to the devil to give. And Jesus knew it. But when he had completed his temptation, God sent angels. And you'll find that in Matthew 4 and 11. The angels came and ministered to Jesus. So I think you can see and understand why I believe in angels. They're very special messengers of God. How many are there? I don't know. I tried to figure it up one time, but God fixed it where I couldn't. In Revelation 5:11, we are told those angels number in thousand times 10,000. You can calculate that. And then God added to it. And thousands of thousands. And he doesn't tell us how many thousands or of how many thousands. So we don't really know. We just know there is a great angelic host. And I feel blessed in my heart to know it and to believe it. And I hope you do as well. But in the messenger, the angel who came to John, he is talking to him in this 19th chapter, which we're looking at today. And the angel told him about three very special and important words that should be in all our lives, something our hearts want to do, and something we hope God will help us to do better. Here are the three words I want to talk to you about today. All of that has been kind of my preliminary, my introduction to get to where I wanted to get. But now, the sixth verse says, there are three words. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, word number one, hallelujah. It's the first one we're going to look at. The second one, for the Lord God omnipotent. That's our second word. And then he says after that, simply the word reigneth. That God omnipotent reigneth. And that's the third verse that I want us to look at today and try to understand and try to help us get a hold of it in our own hearts and lives, that it wasn't just for John. My brothers and sisters, it's for you. It's for me. It's for all God's children. This Bible is written to all God's children. And these words are here in the Bible for all of us to read and to share with one another and to rejoice in and to live by and be blessed by. And it's been going on ever since God wrote it. People have been able to do that. And as long as time goes on, I believe God will preserve his word and people won't be able to destroy it, because God's children, we need the word of God. But he begins with this first word and says, hallelujah. Did you notice in looking there, there are three other times previously, verse 1 saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. In verse number 3, again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Verse 4, the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. So there, all those just getting up to this sixth verse that uses that word once more, hallelujah. Now, if you think, well, I'm pretty sure that doesn't sound quite right. Well, in our day and time, it isn't. The accepted word in our day and time starts with an H and spelled just a little differently, a little longer word. It's hallelujah. So you a lot of times hear people, if they shout to the Lord, say hallelujah. But Revelation uses the word hallelujah, starting with an A. But really, brothers and sisters, there isn't any difference just in spelling and length. But the meaning is the same. You know what they mean? They mean praise God. That's what they mean. We're to praise God. And so when we say hallelujah, that's what we're saying. It's just a word that substitutes for two words. Instead of saying praise God, we say hallelujah. And that means praise God. Back in the book of Psalm 67 is a short psalm of only seven verses. But the fifth verse I want you to listen as I read that to you. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. See, that's what the word hallelujah means. So whether we use the words praise God or we use the word hallelujah, which means that, it's the same thing. It's to praise God. And this, way back in the Psalms, the long time before Jesus came, the people were praising God. God was blessing them, just as God blesses you and me. And they would praise God, just as I feel in my heart we have all done from time to time, as the Lord has blessed each and every one of us. And so we ought to praise God. And that's what this fifth verse is saying. The voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants. Now, why does God want us to praise him? Well, I'm going to tell you, my conviction about it is because we owe it to God, really we do. Oh, hasn't God blessed your life? I mean, you can look way back and see how he blessed you. You can look more recently and see how he's blessed you. You think of all the people who have died in recent months or years, and here we are sitting in the house of God together today, worshiping our Lord. Isn't it a blessing? God has been good. And not only that, but God sent his only begotten Son into the world to do something for you. I couldn't do for you. Your mom and your daddy couldn't do it for you. Your husband, your wife couldn't do it for you. He saved us by his grace. He died for our sins on an old rugged cross. Laid down his life willingly that our debt of sin might be paid and washed and canceled out so that we could go home one day when we die and be with the Lord in heaven's glory. And Jesus made that possible. And if Jesus hadn't done that, if God hadn't sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for you and me, folks, we'd have never made it. We'd have lived out our lives and died and decayed. But we'd have never gotten to heaven. But I'll tell you, I believe today, when I die, my life's going to leave my body and go home to glory. Don't you believe that about you? That's a blessed hope. And that's all because of what Jesus did for us. We couldn't do it ourselves. We were laden with sin. Sin had separated us from God our Father. And we needed a Savior. And Jesus became that. Why not praise our God every day? Every day. In our prayers, say a word, praise you, Lord, thank you. Just in your thoughts and meditations, praise the Lord. Because from ancient times, the time of Revelation, and that's been roughly 2,000 years ago since the Bible was written. And here we are today, still able to rejoice in the hope in Jesus. We ought to be praising him right on. There should never be a time, as long as this earth goes on, but what God's children will remember to praise God. And it ought to be done on a very regular basis, really, because he is so very, very good to all of us. So that's the first verse. God's just calling us to remember, because he's fixing to tell us some things that hopefully will bless your heart even more. So praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. It means little children can do it, adults can do it. It means the poor can do it, and the wealthy can do it. It means the young can do it, and the old can do it. All of us, small and great. And here it is. Those thundering sing, hallelujah. Why? Why praise God? Here it is. For, in essence, because the Lord God omnipotent. Now, I'm just going to just pause there because I want to get to the other word separately. The Lord God omnipotent. You don't hear that word a lot, but it's an important word. There are other statements in this book of Revelation very similar. I found there were five places that use the words Lord God Almighty. And I'll tell you where they are if you want to write them down. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation 11, 17. Revelation 15, 3. Revelation 16, 7. And Revelation 21, 22. I don't have time to turn to all of them and read it and get through with my sermon, but those are places to Lord God Almighty. Now, why would he use omnipotent and almighty? Basically, there isn't any difference. That's what the word omnipotent means, that God is an all-powerful God. It just simply means he's all-powerful. In other words, with God, Jesus told us this in Matthew 19, 26, with God, all things are possible. And so, it's possible because he is all-powerful. The word almighty is very similar. It means having all might and power. You might remember this without me telling you, but I'm going to tell you because if you don't remember, you need to. Back in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, chapter 17, verse 1, Abraham was almost 100 years old, and Sarah was about 90, and God was going to send him a child, going to be the father of the Jewish nation, from which Jesus would be born. God started work a long time ago in making plans, didn't he? And when God came to Abraham, first called Abram, and then we know him as Abraham, he said, I am the Almighty God. Abraham, I want you to know that about me now. I'm the Almighty God. I'm the God that has all power. In other words, how would you believe that an old couple like that would have a child? It would take a miracle. It did take a miracle. But God is a powerful, mighty God, and thus he is a God of miracles. Well, I tell you, we've all seen them. I dare say we probably all had a miracle, small or great, in our life somewhere. I know I feel that I have. Matt and I both had cancer surgery. Here we are. Thank you, Lord. It didn't just happen. I believe God brought it to pass. He is a God of might and power and miracle. And just to know he is an almighty God. Old King Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, he was a man who knew Daniel. And I'll make that connection in your mind for you. Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan king. Oh man, he was a powerful king. He ruled probably, if not the greatest, one of the greatest empires known on earth in his day and time. I'm sure he didn't think anybody could really mess with him. He was too big for that. But you know, one day God pulled him off his roost and shoved him out into the elements of nature. Took his mind away from him. He didn't be king no more. He couldn't rule and reign. Couldn't exercise his power. He lived out under the stars and was wet with the dew at night. And his hair and his fingernails grew long like animal claws or feathers. And God left him out there to learn a lesson. Let me remind you of this. Sometimes in what you think is a bad experience in your life, and I think is a bad one in mine, and say, Lord, sure wish you hadn't let that happen. But remember this. Sometimes in those bad experiences, there are lessons God's teaching us. There are lessons we need to learn. And if we'll be careful and pay attention, I believe we'll learn from them. Old Nebuchadnezzar did. He got the message. But just as quickly as God took him off the throne, God blessed him to get back on the throne. And in Daniel 4:35, he said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And God doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, of which Nebuchadnezzar was one. You see, the lesson God taught Nebuchadnezzar is, Nebuchadnezzar, there's somebody bigger than you. There's somebody more powerful than you. Somebody you can't even imagine how big they are, and that's God. And he learned in that bitter experience something about the God of Daniel. Our God is a mighty God. But let me move on now to my third word. And that is the word reigneth. To reign as a sovereign, a king, like Nebuchadnezzar was in his day. It is the person who reigns over a country, who reigns over an empire, and who is the king and sovereign ruler, and who makes the decision. It's not like meeting it up yonder in Washington, D.C., but all the various people elected from various states, and they all voted out. When you had a sovereign, a king, he said, this is the way it is, and that's the way the nation went. He didn't ask, you want to do it this way? He was king. He made the laws. He made the rules. If he said, kill him, you were dead. If he said, let him go, you were released. The king, top one in the kingdom. He reigns. He is in power. He is in control. I want to tell you this about God's kingdom, brothers and sisters. Kingdoms have come and gone. Nations have risen and fallen. Kings have been put up and taken position, and they've been taken down, as Nebuchadnezzar was. But there's one thing, remember, God's throne is heaven, and God has never been defeated, and God will never be dethroned. Nobody. No king, no groups. If all the kings of this earth united today, they could not overthrow the kingdom of the Lord God omnipotent. He is reigning, and he is reigning today. In the 16th verse, and I preached the sermon, by the way, I don't know how long ago, but I did since I've been your pastor, from this 16th verse. And he hath on his vesture, this is Jesus, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who God is. The Father is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus is. They rule and reign. In fact, in Acts 7:49, God said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. And then he asked him a question, what houses will you build me, saith the Lord? Well, a good long time ago, this house was built for the worship of God. Thank the Lord, it's still here, still open. We're still meeting and praising and worshiping God. Come Sunday morning when we can. But there's nothing on this earth, as blessed as it is, as much joy as it brings us, there's nothing on this earth that can equal God's throne. See, God's throne is not here in the church. God's throne is in heaven. And the earth, now you think about it. You ever go home at night, maybe you're tired, and you sit out in your comfort chair and you put your feet on a footstool? It's just a little part of your house. God says, think about it now. Heaven is my throne. I'm sitting on the throne. You know what my footstool is? It's the whole earth. This whole terrestrial ball, populated by more than we can imagine. But God says, that's my footstool. That, my brothers and sisters, is how grand and glorious God really is. He reigns, and he's going to continue to reign. Now, the seventh verse, I want to bring that in quickly in focus. To understand, we are to praise God, number one. To understand, because he is the omnipotent Lord God, has all power, that's the second. And he is reigning, not did reign, or he is going to reign, he is reigning. Present tense. With all of that, the angel brings for us to view with our hearts and our eyes. He says, in response to that, here's what you and I ought to be. Today, tomorrow, and every day. We don't always live up to it. Unfortunately, we're human. But it's what we ought to do. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. We all shed tears. Sometimes things just literally break our hearts. Sometimes the pain hurts so bad, we don't think we can stand it, and we cry. But I want you to know, no matter what touches your life and mine, we still want to be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife had made herself ready. Jesus said to the Jews of His day and time, "Your father Abraham saw my day," listen now, "and he rejoiced to see it and was glad." Now here's what I believe Abraham saw the day of Jesus. God told him, He said, "I want you to take that special son he and Sarah had in old age, Isaac, the father of the Jewish nation." God said, "I want you to take him out of yonder on the mountain. I'll show you where it is, and I want you to offer him to me." I can imagine, I cannot imagine what Abraham was feeling in his heart, the heaviness, but he trusted God. He's listed in the faith chapter of the New Testament, Hebrews 11, as having believed God, that if God told him that there's going to be a nation rise out of this boy, here's the way Abraham analyzed it, according to the scriptures as I understand it. Abraham said, "Well, you know, God made me a promise. And God's going to keep this promise. I know He will. And if He wants me to offer my son to Him as a sacrifice, I'll do it. It'll hurt, but I'll do it. Because I know God will have to raise him back up to live again for him to be the father of that nation." You see what faith and hope does to your heart? It helps you through those hard times. And then as they were there on the mountain, he bound the boy, drew his knife back to take his life, and a voice from God out of heaven spoke to stop him. Guess what? Some of you already know. There was a ram caught in the thicket behind him, caught by his horns. God said to Abraham, "You can put him there and offer him in the place of us." Don't you know all the tears dried out his eyes? The heartache just disappeared. He's going to carry that boy back home. But listen to what I'm telling you now. That ram, that caught in the thicket, God had him there for a reason and a purpose. Because God was going to show Abraham, and he's showing us, the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. So he saw in that ram the coming of the Savior. And how that ram would spare the life of his son, and the Savior would spare our lives. That's basically by faith what he was seeing, as I understand it. And in spite of all that he had struggled with, he rejoiced and was glad. You can find something to be glad about if you look around you just a little while. He says not only to be glad, but and rejoice. My favorite verse about rejoicing in all the Bible, I do believe, is Book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Why did he say that twice? Wouldn't it have been enough just to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and to leave that other statement off? It wasn't, because God put him there. God has a purpose for everything. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Why? I'm going to tell you what I think in my heart about it. Rejoice in who God is. The Lord God omnipotent who reigns. And secondly, rejoice in what the Lord of glory has done in your life and mine. We can rejoice in the being of God, and we can rejoice in the blessings of Almighty God. Now, I know as I close my sermon, the last 2 years have been very difficult for us all, haven't it? We don't want to pass through them. I wish we didn't have to, but we do. Even right now, there's a lot going on out there in the world that brings a lot of concern and anxiety and fear to our hearts, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Listen to me. God does know what tomorrow holds. And more than that, God knows what you need tomorrow. Just like you knew what you needed yesterday and what he knows you need today. And what we need to do, my brothers and sisters, listen to these words of an angel. It was a message of an angel for us. I believe it's for us just as much as it was for John and all the other millions who have read these words over the centuries. It's a wonderful message of hope. It's a wonderful message of encouragement. That in the midst of all the struggles of our lives, God is able to bless us. That somewhere along the way we're going to find some rejoicing and gladness. If we live in our heartache and grief and sorrow, we are robbing ourselves of blessings. That otherwise we might enjoy day after day by just simply saying, I don't understand it, but God's sovereign, and he never makes a mistake, and whatever he does, and whatever I have to face, God didn't make a mistake in it. No. And I'm going to trust him. Because I know he's the Lord God omnipotent. And I know he is reigning. And I know he can take care of me. Whether it is to leave me here and leave you here, I don't know. I won't stay here forever. None of us will. We will eventually go the way of all the earth and die. Unless Jesus comes again. That's not bad either. I love being here with you. I love living my life with my wife. But it's going to be even better when I get to heaven to live with God. Don't you think so? We've got a lot to rejoice and be glad about. And I hope God's Word will help you see that today, tomorrow, next week, next year. When life kind of bears down on you, you say, but I got to rejoice and be glad. Because there's something here God's given to me. And there's something waiting on me. I don't know what it is yet, but I know God is a mighty powerful God. And he can bless me. He can give to me. He can take away things sometimes. But God knows what we need. And his grace is always sufficient because he is the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth. May we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for who you are. The Lord God omnipotent who reigneth. And thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, even in this day. Thank you, Lord, to be able to share your word. Such a blessing in my heart to be able to do that. Bless your people in receiving your word, that it will bless their hearts. And encourage us all in the midst of these uncertain times through which we pass. And bless us as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.